Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We say, hallowed be your name. Our Father, as we gather here singing, hallowed be your name, we pray this morning that, Lord, you cause your kingdom to come. You cause your will to be done in our mercy on earth as it is in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful for indeed. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thank you for visiting us today as we gather here. Wherefore, I come to ask, Father, for fresh mercy, fresh grace, Lord. As I minister the word, help me to minister the word as an oracle of God. Let your word go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life as I dock under cropping, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for increase in honesty and humility of heart as your word goes forth to cause our wills to become more humble and minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. Help me to be a scribe today, instructed on the kingdom, to bring out of the treasure of the Lord things both new and old. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. That was where we stopped the last time. You know, we were talking about Paul instructing the spiritual son. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, for a brief recap. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Okay. I read. Paul was instructing Timothy. Let's first of all read. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who what? Quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Next verse. That thou keep this commandment. How? Without spot, without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put it back in verse 13. You see, here, Paul begins to instruct Timothy, I give the charge. A charge is a commandment given with authority. And it is something very important. So this charge I'm giving you, I'm not giving you before men, but I'm giving you before God. Why? Because the Bible says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So he brought God on the scene. That what I'm telling you is very important. That is, what is that charge? So I'm giving you a charge before God. That is, God is bearing witness with me. That means that thing is telling Timothy is very, very important. Which is very also important to us today. So I give the charge. God has given us a charge. That this commandment, he said, that command, he gave us the charge before God the Father, who created all things, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. He said that, what is that charge? He said that we keep what? The commandment. Say, keep the commandment. How? Without spot. Say, without spot. Unrebukable. Say, until. Say, until. That means you can't stop until you get the end result of his appearing in us. You cannot afford to stop. He says, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I find it very interesting. That is the same charge that God gave them in the Old Testament. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Where Moses was talking. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Not 1 Samuel, please. Praise the Lord. So I call heaven and earth to record this day what? Against God will not record this day against us in Jesus' name. He said, I call heaven and earth what? To record this day against you that I have said before you. I have said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life. Both thou and thy seed may what? Live. Which means if you don't choose life, that person and his seed will not live. So now I call heaven. Please just follow me, please, guys. That thou mayest love. Now began to tell Israelites at that time the purpose, the effects, the benefits, thank you, sir, of the commandment of life. Says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for is what I. Life and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You can see the benefits of eternal life there. It's that you may love God. That, you see, loving God has to do with the amount of the life of God in your soul and body. It's not emotional. So that thou also may obey his voice. That means in between those two sentences, two phrases, that means you will have heard his voice. Then the strength to obey will now come. I follow me, and then you may cleave to him. After you cleave unto him, he says that, and then you feel the length of thy days. So he gave them the same commandment, both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Just like the New Testament, it becomes very clear. And we said it the other time, we said that this commandment is twofold. is twofold. If you can zero down on those two commandments, you find out that every other thing will fall into place. What are these two commandments? It's the commandment of life and the commandment of law. Pastor has taught us very well. That's the Bible's book of John chapter 12, verse 50. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 12, verse 50, please. It says, and I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. Say, and I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. Say, life everlasting. So you see, receiving the life of God is a commandment. Brack Copran said something some years ago. He said, commandment is an order given without, there is no retreat or no surrender. It's a commandment. If you don't see receiving life as a commandment, you will not take it as serious as you ought to. It's a commandment. Say, it's a commandment. You can't retreat from it. You can't say, no, I'm not doing it. It is a commandment. Would to God that the body of Christ will see this commandment, see this receiving eternal life as a commandment. Say, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. So, that is the first commandment. Then the second one is commandment of love. Say, commandment of love. John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. Let's go there. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So it is a commandment. But like I said the other time, you see, the degree to which you can love your fellow brethren or love God is determined by the amount of life of God that's operating in you at that point in time. The life of God is supposed to live out itself in us. The measure of your spirit matters, the measure of your soul matters, the measure of your body matters. Are you following me? So it's very important. Let's open our Bible to put the scripture behind this that brings those two commandments together. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment. Let's go. And this is his commandment, that we should do what? Believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, which God gives us life, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. You see, this simple commandment that you see here is a pathway to receiving the Spirit without measure. We will see. That is the pathway. This simple commandment of believing in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and then loving one another is the pathway to receiving the Spirit without measure. We'll see as we go on. As you can see. Say, when you believe on that name, it gives you access to life. Say, this is my reading that we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that we might have life through his name in the book of John. So, let me explain what I just said. You know, the pastor said something. He said, if you love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. You see, the love of God is not so much as what you do physically. There's a part to play in that. But see, the root is when you keep his commandment, you show that you love him. And those are the two commandments. Let's open our Bible to the book of John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16. I said it is a pathway to receiving the Spirit without measure. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Let's say, if you love me, keep my commandments. We already know what those commandments are. The commandments of life and the commandments of love. Next verse. It's a continuous discussion. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You see, that is when what happened when the master at the river Jordan. When the Spirit of God came upon me, he was there to abide forever. It wasn't temporary. Next verse. And I will pray the Father, and shall give next verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he shall dwell with you, and he shall be in you. You see, this is beyond getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We are talking about an abiding presence. What the master received at the river Jordan. When the Spirit came upon him, he abode permanently. He remained. That's what we are talking about. So the pathway for us is to keep that commandment of life and love. Praise the Lord. And what did he say? Let's go back to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse, let's finish verse 13. It says, okay, let's go to verse 14. He said that we should keep the commandment without rebuke, without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we said the other time, I said, what do we mean by keep the commandment without spot? We've been taught. It's the same nature that creates spots in our connection with Lord Jesus Christ, like we teach every Tuesday when we come to pray. You see, anytime you commit acts of sin or sins of omission, comes, so spots and impediments appear in spiritual connection between you and God. So it hinders the flow of the life of God from God to you. There's supposed to be an unhindered flow. But when you sin, that spot hinders the flow. It constricts it. The measure you're supposed to reap is reduced. It attenuates. It reduces. I don't know how it's like. We talk about on Tuesday, when you have a kitchen sink that is blocked, the water inside cannot flow halfway. And that is not God's design. But God has given us a way of escape. And that way of escape is using the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when you use that blood, it is that blood that brings all those spots and impediments, and then so that the life of God can flow freely, not just into your spirit now, from there move to your soul, and then from there into your physical body. That is why he says something. Say, anytime you stand praying, forgive. Don't see it just as maybe somebody offended me, and then so I'll forgive him before I pray. Fine, that's true. But he said, hey, if I want to just walk in the spirit like we have been taught, I want to come, those love confessions. So anytime I stand praying, forgive. Say, Father, I confess our sins. Why? So that it can be a clean channel, a clear channel for the free flow of the life of God from God to me. I thought it's important. The blood of Jesus Christ is what removes and cleanses those spots and impediments. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Let's look at that. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the word, the blood of the everlasting covenant, next verse, make you what? Perfect. In every good work to do is working you that which is well pleasing inside. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. The blood of Jesus is very important. We've been taught we need the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect that love. You see, the master said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Paul now began to open the scriptures. That is, you not just keep, the only way you can keep the commandments is that you must keep it without spot. So you need, because he said, the God of peace. And finally, when he said, that same situation, that's what he used again. When he said, the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Spirit, so that is it is what God himself will do as you cooperate. Bible says that it is God that works in us both to will and to also do of his good pleasure. But see, the provisor is there. We've been doing it. But see, because we must do it frequently, say frequently and also diligently. Just say frequently and diligently. You can't do lackadaisically. You have to apply constant, concentrated, well-directed effort. Like Pastor says, you must see the flow. You must believe. You see, all these things are invisible realities. But you must believe that God cannot lie. So you must apply them in faith. Bible says, God will reward those that were diligently seeking. Let's open my Bible's book. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. So we must do these things diligently, frequently, until the appearing. So if he has not appeared, we can't stop. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says the same thing. It says, wherefore, beloved, saying that you look for such things, be what? Say diligent. That you may be what? Found in him in peace, without spot and what? Blameless. Irreproachable. Until the appearance of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, let's read verses 1 to 3. This is our hope. This is our calling. This is the assignment that God has given every Christian. Let's read together. Say, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. So therefore, the world does not know us, because it knew him not. Next verse. Says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet what? Appear. Say, it does not yet what? Appear. But we are in that season of appearing. Says, what? It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Next verse. And every man that has this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. The degree of how bright that hope is shining in your heart would be defining the degree to which you are diligent and you are frequent. He said he purified himself even as he is pure. Not as any human being is pure. The Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. Even as he is what? Pure. Let's look at another scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 3. It says, for you are dead. We are not dead. It's talking about the sin nature. Are you following me? And your life is what? Hid in Christ God. Next verse. Say when? That means there is a time. Say when? Christ, who is alive, shall what? Appear. Then we shall also appear with him in glory. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. We cannot stop until we see his appearing. Very important. And in verse 15, just 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Let's read as we continue. He says, which in his times, is our what? Show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings
and the Lord of Lords. That means there is the time. We are sharing the other time about Paul. Paul said there was a time in his life when God, who had called him, decided to reveal his son in him. There is a time. You see, in that place, he said, who in his times, plural, as we have been taught about disappearing, is first of all going to appear in us in perfection and fullness, and then it's going to appear for us, take us away at the rapture, or called the rapture. It's going to appear with us for the millennial reign. Let's put some scriptures behind it. Say, who in his times? There is a time and a season for everything under the sun. And by the grace of God, we will not miss the day of our visitation. Because it's going to appear. As our Bible said, if you have this hope in yourself, say, purify yourself, even as he is pure. In the book of Hebrews, he says something. He says that we have an anchor for our soul. He said, this anchor is sure and steadfast, and it goes within the veil. That is, it did not stop in the outer court. It did not stop in the holy place. It goes right in between the veil. That is where our destiny is. So when you see this hope is an anchor for your soul. When the storms of life come, when disappointments come, when things happen and you find yourself that you have been tossed, you know. So Paul used that analogy of a ship. You know, when they throw the anchor down. So when the waves begin to move the ship, I follow him like the pastor. I get the money. He had an anchor for his soul. That he said it is sure and steadfast. And it enters within the veil. That means your anchor is the outer court. It is not sure and steadfast. If it is within the holy place, Pentecost, it is not sure and steadfast. The only sure place is the most holy place where the Father is. Our destiny is beyond the veil. That is where the anchor is. That is our hope as a Christian. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. That is our hope. You see, if you put your hope in things of this life, they can fail. They do fail many times. But see, that is the hope that cannot fail. And the only way you can abound in hope is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't remember what that was, it's the Romans. It's as you pray, your hope becomes brighter. So the hope of this world, it can make your heart sick when you don't get what you expect in the natural. But there's one hope that God has sworn to. It is swear to the other things, even though it's a promise. But he said, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that he may have a strong consolation, having fled for refuge, to lay hold. Say, lay hold. See, when he said lay hold, it means you should grab it. Don't allow it to sleep. Say, grab it. Say, to lay hold on the hope that is set before. Say, God, he said, when God looked at everything, he wanted to, he couldn't, he said, okay, I swear by myself. Talking about Abraham. He said, I swear by myself. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiply, I will multiply. Hebrews now, in the book of Hebrews, Paul now began to take that promise, which is the promise of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. He said, God swore that as long as I live, this particular thing will come into manifestation. You're saying, Pastor Dave, why are you talking about this thing? Because you see, this thing has tarried for some time. And there are times that we get weary in our minds. And we say, where is the promise of his coming? Believe me, God has won. And he will not change. He has an. You see, he did one thing. After he swore, now God, Lord Jesus Christ, he gave me an unchangeable priesthood. That priesthood to bring many sons to glory. That's what the master is praying for. When you are making intercession, he says he makes intercession for the strings according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, for them that are called according to his purpose. So for whom he did foreknow, then he also did predestinate, and he will be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also was glorified in time. That is our destiny. It must be clear. You know why I'm preaching with such a person like this? That's been my hope all these years. That's why I can turn back on some things. Say, Lord, it doesn't matter. I may fail in this place. I may not make in this place. But the Bible says that wisdom is justified of our seed. We are the one that will justify what the master paid for. When you manifest that glory, and then we close this age. Every other thing can fail. But that particular one cannot fail. And once that one kicks in, every other thing will come to pass. Because that is when he will actually restore the year that the canker one, caterpillar, and the power of eating. Can you imagine if you have the spirit of measure? What God will do to you?
Raising the dead has fought after 4 days is child's play. Manifestations. Glory. That is the hope. Praise the Lord. Let me get back to my notes. So let's put the scripture behind this. I said it will come in all. That is imminent. That is what we are waiting for. That is what the world is waiting for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Are we there? That's what you can say. When he shall come to be what? Glorified. In what is sense. And admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That is, there is going to come a time that again, there is going to be glorified in his saints. Take that back to Romans 8. That's why the Spirit is making intercession for the saint according to the will of God. So when that time comes, people come and admire. You become a wonder to your generation. The ability of the mind of Christ. All that the pastor has talked about. That is why, going back to what I said earlier on, you must make sure you keep the commandment. It won't happen, don't diligently. Diligently! Frequently! Until the appearing. That is what we are waiting for. And Paul says something. Not Paul, Lord Jesus Christ. He said that, why am I saying this? No man knows the day or the hour. But did not say we don't know the times and the seasons. You see, it's foolish to say that. I don't mean to derogate some Christians who say, nobody knows. Only God knows. In a sense, it's true. I'm talking about the day and the hour. But in talking about the times and the seasons, we are supposed to know perfectly. We are moving into the rainy season now. What are you expecting? You're expecting the rains to come. By the time we get to November, December, you know that the dry season will kick in. We may not be able to say exactly when the first rains will come when we enter the dry season. But now we have entered the dry season. We have entered the season of his appearing. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 36. Put a scripture behind this. The master said himself, said, but of that hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Bible says in Acts, whom the heavens must retain unto the restitution of all things. And they've been done. Heavens, he said, Jehovah said to Adonai, sit at my right hand. You're not going anywhere. Until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That is, you're not going back again to die for them. The first time he came, Hebrew said, he said, the second time is not coming for somebody sin unto repentance. No. Is coming as a mature son, in mature children. See, that is our purpose, that is our destiny. So I said, but we are supposed to know the times and the seasons. Yes, Matthew chapter 16, verse 2. That's why Jesus was very angry with the Pharisees, the teachers of those days. And I dare say he's angry many of them in the world of Christ today. He called them hypocrites. A hypocrite is something that it does not. What makes you a hypocrite when you don't do? Are we there? And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening. He was talking to Pharisees, the teachers of those days. He said, you say that it will be fair weather. For the sky is red. Next verse. So, and in the morning, it will be fair weather today. For the sky is red and glowing. Say, oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? That is what they said leadership in church today. Can't you discern? That is why Bible says, he said something. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. That's why you can't follow them. Hypocrites. Not because God didn't want them to know. Not because God didn't want them to see. But they just refused to not to look at it, not to believe. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not because knowledge is not there, because they're not using it. Let's open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, read verses 1 and 2. Paul was talking to the Thessalonians. We were afraid, and the Antichrist is coming. When is blah 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 blah? And he told them, "But of the times, and the season, say, brethren." So he's talking to us. You have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because for yourself, know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That word "thief in the night" means that you must not sleep. He said, Paul said, I have no need to write to you. Not the same thing should be our own story. When you go to anywhere as a Christian from Scripture Pastor Christian Center,
and somebody said the rapture will come tomorrow. This is what people say. I don't need to tell you. They've told us already. You know. We know rapture can't occur tomorrow. We know. Some people are smiling. It can't occur next week. I know. It cannot occur in 10 years' time. I know. I can keep pushing it. You know why? Bible says Daniel, who was not born again, you understand by the books. The number of years. So you can know, we're supposed to know perfectly. Say perfectly. Without any shadow of doubt. The only reason why you will not know is we are sleeping. That's why I said that, like a thief in the night. Now that takes me to my next point. So like a thief in the night, we talk about that aspect. How do we know? Say, how do we know? You can't just know. How come Esther didn't know? How come the 10 virgins didn't know? How come they didn't know? Why? You can't just know like that. God will have to put you under the right leadership. The sons of Issachar that have an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. So if you don't submit to the sons of Issachar, you're not going to know. Either at the heart level or because you don't obey their instructions, you will not know. But we will know in Jesus' name. So God has raised up sons of Issachar. They have an understanding of the times. And what, that means if you don't have an understanding of the times, you will not know what to do. You will not know what to do. You will be doing the wrong thing. You have an exam. Maybe it's English or biology. And you didn't know. Then maybe you just stay back somewhere. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. That is why God has raised up. And I say it without fear. And it is not flattery. Folks, storms have come. Winds have blown to shake my foundation many times. But what keeps me steady is that anchor. Having a son of Issachar over my life. I can never forget that confession. I think it was in 1991. Papa Ralph came and I was ministering. And he stood there and stood what Pastor Mom. He said, behold Joseph. He said, behold Joseph. He said, is he that has and had increase? Notice when Moses and Mary got pregnant. Fine, you're born again. But everything that preserved her from the time she gave birth was given to Joseph. It was Joseph that had a dream. I said, let's go. So from here, let's go. From here, let's go. You might be born again. You might have the Christ child in you. We have to submit to Joseph. It's a Joseph that will now tell you. You can't say, okay, an angel appeared to me first. It may not suffer. He didn't tell you. Big mistake. You have bought the baby. Herod is outside there. So it was Joseph that kept on taking Mary around. He took him here. He took him here. Oh yeah, he took him here. He took him everywhere until they came back to Nazareth. So be to a Joseph. If you don't, you abort the baby. I can. He's stuck in my spirit. So when the storms of life come and they shake and they blow and everything, I remember. So sons of Issachar. And there's also another type is the watchmen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 6. They were the ones that were not sleeping. All the virgins were asleep. And at midnight the cry came. Say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. You know what they said? Say, go out and meet him. You have to go out. What does that mean? To go. You see, look at Mary. Mary is a type. Are you following me? Mary Magdalene. She's a type of the advanced party. You see, if you look at that story book of John, Martha went to see the master when he was outside town, but couldn't bring him in. Then when the Bible says that when Mary heard, he put his instruction in John, when Mary heard that he had come, and he stood up, oh my God, I put in my nose somewhere, Matthew, where are you? I hope you've not gone to London to see the Queen. John 11. Yes, as soon as he heard that Jesus Christ was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house, sat still, because she knew the times and the seasons. Next verse. Then said unto Lord Jesus, skip that fast. Towards the end, he answered when he said, he sent for you, advance party. He has sent for us now to come. So he said, he sent for you. When immediately Mary heard, he said, he rose up in haste. Let me find it on the board. He said, he has sent for us. Thank you, sir. 25.
25. Anyway, you talked about Mary is this. If you read the story account of Mary, as the advanced party. When the Bible was talking about Mary, he said something. He said, in whom the master cast out seven devils. Perfection. Seven is number God done for completion. Remember, it was Mary that first saw him. But I said, he woke, he said, a great fire before dawn. So it was early, yet dark. Okay, so, and when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Next verse. As soon as she heard, have you heard that message today? Said she rose. She arose and said, quickly. Say quickly, folks. And came unto him. While he was still outside. Advance party. Next verse. Next verse. Now Jesus was not just coming to the town. See, by the time he comes, it will be too late. Go and ask that guy that the feast. He said the king, they were already. The purpose of this feast, the revelation that is coming, is to get a wedding garment. By the time the king came to view the guests, it was too late. He said, a gentleman, how come you don't have a wedding garment? How come? No mercy at that time. He said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. Not necessarily hell, but permanently in the outer court. That will not be a portion of Jesus. So now Jesus went and said, next verse. Next verse. He's calling us. He said, the Jews which were within comfort them. That she was, rose up. Say hastily. Let me call to hasten his coming. And went out. Followed her, saying, she quit up to get out of the thought. We're not going to the grave. We're going to experience resurrection life. I follow him. Then Jesus went up to the grave. And you know the story. By the time the master came, it was Mary that brought him back. Martha could not. If you are combined about with not serving, and don't take it to using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God, you can't bring him. You will go and you'll be sent back. We're not going to be sent back in Jesus' name. Anyway, as we continue. So that is what God has called us to. I talk about the Mordecai's. They're the ones that cry. Esther didn't know what was going on. She was busy enjoying in the king's palace. Then perhaps when Mordecai heard the story of what has happened, then the crowd like blood voice at the king's gate. They go and tell Esther. If you don't arise now, say, and put on your garments. Say, we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So the cry went out at midnight. And I said, we have to go out to meet him. Bible says, you should go out to meet him without the camp. In the book of Hebrews. Moses took the ark of God. The tabernacle went they seen. And God was going to destroy them. He took it outside. So said, anybody that wants to seek God, you must go without the camp. Go and meet him there. Then you come back with the glory of God. So after that time, Paul now begins in verse 16. He now begins to talk about something. I was wondering, what is the connection between what he's saying now and what he said before? If you remember, I said that he told Timothy something which applies to us. He said that I'm giving you a charge to keep this commandment. He said, I'm giving you a charge before God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Holy Spirit is there. That keep this commandment without spot or wrinkle. That is, if you doubt in your heart, that is not going to appear. This is the person that gave the promise. Put it back in 16. That is, see God in his form. That is, he has said he's going to appear in his time. He said, are we there? Put it back in verse 15. I want to read something. He said, which in his times he shall show, it is God that will show. Who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, Lord of lords? Next verse. Read it in context. It says, who hath only immortality dwelling in light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. He now begins to tell Timothy, the person that gave the promise. That gave the charge to keep that commandment until it's appearing. So if you doubt in your heart, brethren, that is not going to appear. Okay, I'm telling him to describe the person that gave the charge. Now began to talk about the majesty of God. Are there is anything too hard for God to do? Is anything he began? You don't understand. See, when we think, Pastor has taught many years ago. You see, when we think about God, we see him in the form of a servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think that between you and Jesus Christ, you are the same height. You know, that's our thinking. You don't know the form of God. You don't understand how big God is. You understand how powerful God is.
to understand how righteous God is. Faithful to keep his promises. So he began to tell him. So I'll open to Isaiah chapter 40 to describe the person that gave the promise. We need to know who gave the promise. In the Bible, are we there? Isaiah 40. I think it's in verse 12. It starts from verse 12. Are we there? Are we there? Verse 12. He said, who had measured? Follow me. Let's go. Who had measured the waters where? In the hollow of his hand. That is, God took the Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, all the oceans you can name. He said, he used his hand like this to measure it. So, Timothy, if you doubt that he's going to appear, this is the person that gave the promise. Are you following me? He said, all of you, and meted out heaven with a span. A span is 9 inches. It's from your little finger to your thumb. All the heavens. Said the first heavens, the second heavens, and the third heavens. So God measured it in a span. So when you think about God, when you say God spoke to me, Pastor saw something years ago about the angels of his presence. He would mean, God can't talk to you and he can't hear. I don't know what, there is no word yet to describe what will happen. He has to, that's why when he spoke to Lord Jesus Christ, he said, this is my beloved son, hear him. Some people said, Pastor, he done that. This man said, an angel spoke to me, but only son could download it. And said, it's the father that spoke to me. God has to reduce himself. When he said he's sitting on his throne, thunderings and rumblings and all that, he's trying to get something across. We're beginning to pray with travail, that's why. Said the spirit understands. Said we don't know, but the spirit knows the mind of the father. Because it's thunderings and rumblings that's coming from the throne. Said, and compare the dust of the heart in the measure. And weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. You see, let me very, very, very simple. Pastor used the word. He said, God is in power 10 to 100. But the simplest way I can make it is God is bigger than everything that's created. And that's simple enough. And the Bible says that the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. So God is bigger. Say God is bigger than everything he has created. Relative to us, that's what Isaiah was doing. God relative to us is what Isaiah was describing. So it's like me now. Relative to an atom or an electron. It says that, and where the mountains, next verse, please. It says, who had directed the spirit of the Lord? Who had been his counselor or had taught him? Next verse. Skip. Who took counsel? I've not instructed him, I taught him part of my head, but next verse. He said, behold, the nations are what? As a drop of a bucket. You don't understand. The entire nations of the world, all the eyes said as a drop in the bucket, and said, I counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the eyes as a very little. Next verse. He said that Lebanon is not sufficient for to burn. Lebanon was known for the trees of the wood in those days. So if we decide to pack them together and cut them, before you even cut them, some will have matured again. It's not enough to offer God a burnt offering. Next verse. You see, he's trailing Timothy and you and I. A person that said that he's going to appear. This is him. Next verse. And the nations before us, they are less than nothing. They are vanity. Next verse. To whom then will you liken God? Or with what likeness will you compare him? There's nothing. There's nothing to compare. He said, if God humbles himself to behold the things among us. Solomon, he said, even the heavens and the heavens can't contain you. God is astronomically bigger than our imagination can comprehend. But you see, then you now say this question, I'm going to stop now. Then I'll come and have challenges in my life. Yes, if God is that big, then how come this perfection has not occurred? Some people are saying that in their hearts. The simple illustration I will give again is very simple. That came to me. It's like in Kenji Dam in Nigeria, where we have the hydro, we generate hydroelectricity. The capacity for that something, all the turbines there, so 700 and something at full capacity. So when that power leaves Kenji Dam, that's where the generation comes from. It goes straight to a grid. Are you following me? Where they now do what? They transmit it. From transmission, it now goes to distribution. When that gets to distribution, That is when he now goes to all the transformers. Step down. You see, if you decide and say, I don't understand. Let me follow it. You see, God the Father is the one that generates the power. Lord Jesus is the one that transmits it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes it. Then he puts it on these transformers. So you have what you call 11 kVA transformer. Or 33 kVA when they come to maturity. The power that they are carrying is so much. So he now puts it on that 33 kVA transformer. So that power and energy there, the only way you can have access to it is from that transformer to the distribution board at the back there. Then from there, you have to humble yourself under your oversight and take your charger and plug it there. Or else you will not charge your phone. You see, if you take your charger and you decide that, no, I don't believe. No. Or you say, I'm going to the transformer. You are going to Kanji Dam. You and your transformer, I don't know what will happen. And your charger. Or if you say, no, I cannot humble myself. You know what will happen? That's why I said, that 30 kV, that is men of God that come into maturity. Say, touch no man, another dead one. Do my prophets know him? You don't want to go and touch a 30 kV transformer. That's it. That's why he told Moses. He said, Moses, he said, you can't see my face. So. Can you? When he, at that height, he had reduced himself. So even in spite of that, they can't see my face. Nobody can see my face and leave. When God talked to them, he said they made bounds around them. He said, warn them not to come near me. So what I mean, summary, what am I saying? Everything that you need to fulfill purpose and destiny is coming or in this house now. There is no power to get anything done that's electrical. That is not coming from that transformer. Very important. You are in a sense connected back to the Kanji Dam. But see, this power has to be stepped down to the level that you can handle it. So as by power, God comes in measures. But once you are connected and your heart is right, so every part that's flowing from the transformer to this John board now have gives you access to the fullness of God. There's nothing in this house now that will. If they don't buy the equipment, I don't care what, let them fill this place with air conditioners. That 3 kVA will supply. What am I saying? That is why God has put laws for us to obey. Submit to oversight. Bind the devil. Confess your sins. So that the power can flow right like that to that 240 amps socket. Can tap into that power. If you don't submit to that, you will never get the power. And God will not give it to you because it will destroy you. That is the system that God has set into motion. So, closing, 1 minute, the scripture I want to see. Why have I said all that? I said because God wanted Timothy to know that he can, that the person that gave that promise of his appearing is able to do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. We'll read. We've read it many times. I want to show you something. What does it say? It says, and the very God of peace that gave us that blood, remember, sanctify you holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless on the coming of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you doubt it, next verse. Faithful. Say, faithful is he that has called you, who will also do it. That is the link. Don't doubt it. Let's go up at once. When that glory comes, that is what we sanctify. Say, it is God of people that will do it. The last scripture, Exodus 29, verse 43. He said, the God of people sanctify. How will he sanctify? How will he? God is. Exodus 29, verse 43. We stop. Say, yes, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the what? Tabernacle, that is your body, shall be sanctified by my glory. End of story. The God of peace will sanctify our spirit, soul, and body with his glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you, brother, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up. Glory be to God. As Pastor was speaking, I was taking notes. It's okay to take notes. I'm telling you the truth. You know? And I just want to amplify one or two things. He said so many important things today. But there are three areas I want to clarify and amplify. He spoke about, you know, keeping the commandment without spot. You know, the spot of sin. You have to understand that sin isn't just what you do. Sin is also a nature. It is a substance. You know, the sin nature is actually a corrupted form of the divine nature, you know, which Satan had before. But when he sinned, when he cut off himself from God, that nature became corrupted. It became distorted. And that's what sin is. And so when we sin, you know, that corrupted nature forms a spot in the connection between us and God, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses it. Now, this is a very important thing I want to say here, amplifying and clarifying what Pastor Joe has said. I hear this all the time, and that's why I'm correcting it. You know, you say, Father, I confess my sins. Never stop there. To cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Always move to that. See, I know automatically it does it, you know, if you do it in faith in your heart. Say, Father, I confess my sins. But you see, I'm not just confessing my sin to confess my sin. I'm confessing my sin to activate the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the blood of Jesus, from all that will cleanse me from, not some, all unrighteousness at that point in time. So at the point in time when I say, Father, I confess my sins, and I clean with the blood, it's very important to say that with your mouth. That's why the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from some? All. Why? The word all there is extremely significant, because it has to do with a total cleansing. That is what now gives you, like Pastor Joey said, you know, access to the life of God in a sufficient measure, so that there is no constriction, there is nothing blocking the flow. This is crucial. And a lot, you know, people just say, Father, I confess my sins, and they, you know, they just say it mechanically, you know, without this faith, without this understanding that the blood, you know, goes into operation to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some of it, all unrighteousness, so that the life of God can flow maximally into our spirits. It is crucial you remember that and you say it, you know, both with your mouth, and I'll be talking about this later on in my main message, as well as with your heart, that is with your mind. It's not just enough just to, you know, a lot of people say, but they don't believe. To believe is to see. Is to see the invisible. So you see the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. You see the blood of Jesus sprinkled upon your heart, symbolized by your navel region, your connection with God, and you see do that cleansing. When I say you see, I mean you have that understanding, so that the blood of Jesus totally cleanses you from sin. And that's why He gave him the charge. He says, I give you this charge that you keep this commandment, not anyhow, without spot. So there is a way of keeping the commandment without spot. How? Through the blood. There is no way I can keep the commandment without spot by myself. The Bible says, who can say, I have made my heart pure? Nobody. But I can say, the blood of Jesus Christ has made my heart pure. So my confidence is in the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus that now gives me access to the life of God. And that beautiful scripture in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, you know, is so instructive. There is no perfection without cleansing of the blood. Now let's read it together. It says, now the God of peace, I didn't hear you, so, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through, everybody say through. You can't get it any other way. Through. The blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect. I'm going to stop there. Make you perfect. In other words, you want to be perfect, you have to do it through the blood. You cannot do it by
trying to be good or trying to do things by yourself. It's not possible. You know why? You are already corrupted. You're born again. Yes, you have the life of God in your spirit. But up here in the soul and in the body, sin nature is there. There's only one way you're going to get rid of that sin nature. Is by having constant access. When that sin nature causes you to sin, you use the blood to remove the sin. The sin substance, then you receive the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, which you now pump into the soul, the body, and the circumstances, you know, that now make you, you know, do the right thing. So as you continue to do that over time, the life of God and the power of God cleanses out, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That's the way it's done. That's why it says through the blood, make you perfect. Then he says, walking in you to will and do of good pleasure. In other words, when that blood does its work, it creates an avenue, a clear channel, through which the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can flow to walk in you to will and do of his good pleasure. So the reason why many times people, God is not able to work in and through people of his good pleasure, is that there's so much block. There's so much blockage. You know, and they do not deliberately, by faith, with understanding, you know, remove that sin nature, those spots of sin. And that's why he gave Timothy that charge. And amazingly, you know, Peter repeats exactly the same thing. Paul was the one who wrote this one to Timothy, but Peter says exactly the same thing in 2 Peter that Pastor Joey brought out, you know, without spot. There's no other way it's going to be done. It's through the blood of Jesus, and you need to do that. The second thing I want to clarify and amplify is this issue of the hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory, which is the anchor, like it was so rightly said, within the veil, you know, in the most holy place. The hope. Hope is not the same thing as faith. The Bible says, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When hope becomes concretized, when it becomes realized, then it becomes faith. You know, faith is what concretizes or makes hope become a present reality. Hope is a futuristic desire. Something I want, but it hasn't yet come. So what faith does is to take hope, is to work on hope, and then bring it into physical manifestation where I now have it, you know. And so the point I want to make here is this. What he shared here is of crucial importance. You need to have the hope of your Christian life. We've said it so many times, but it bears repetition. It's not just to go to heaven. You see, I shared this the other day also here. You know, that's the reason why a lot of Christians allow and admit and accept dying prematurely. They say, after all, I want to go to heaven. Which is true, but that's not the hope of your Christian life. And Mommy was saying this yet on Wednesday, you know, when we're talking about, you know, long life and all of that. And she said, don't accept the destiny of Stephen. You can read that story and say, well, Stephen was a great man. He had faith and power, and he died, so I too I can die like that. Don't accept that, because that's not what the scripture says about you. He said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. That salvation is the hope. That hope is the hope of experiencing the perfection and the fullness of Christ in this lifetime. And that is the hope that keeps you steady. Says, you know, that goes between the flow, sure and steadfast. So when difficulties come, when problems come, and they will come, Bible says in the world you will have tribulation. But because you are anchored to the right hope, the storms of life, the winds and the storms of life, they can move you here. They can move you here, but you are secure. So you will always go back to that hope. Even when the hopes of the things of this life are deferred, And I taught on this many years ago, on this, you know, that you have three levels of hope. You've got hope for the things of this life. For instance, I'm hoping for promotion, or I'm hoping for a new car, or I'm hoping, you know, I'm trusting God, I want to get a new job. It's a hope, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and I'm praying and I'm trusting God, and one day it will come, you know. But whenever there is a delay in that hope of what I'm believing for, a temporal blessing and a temporal promise, it causes many times, you know, it says hope deferred makes the heart sick. But thank God, that's not my only hope. You see, if that's my only hope, I'm in trouble. That's why I said, if in this life only we have hope, he said, we have all men most miserable. You know why? Because many, many times, some of those hopes will be deferred, and my heart will become sickened, and I will become miserable. That's why so many Christians are miserable. So what do I do? I have three levels of hope. I have hope for the promises of this life, temporal promises. Then I have hope for the perfection, the glory of God in this lifetime. Then I have hope for the resurrection. So it's like having a helmet that has three layers. So if you have the enemy hit you on the head, and one hope, the hope maybe you're trusting God for husband, or you're trusting God for job, or you're trusting God for a new car, or something, or promotion at work. We all have these things, you know, and you're hoping because it's not come, it hasn't come yet. So you're hoping for it, and it is delayed. Instead of you getting sick, the second hope kicks in. Hallelujah. So you got a first hope. You know, it's not yet done. So instead, when my heart wants to get sick, I remember that that's not my only hope. I have another hope. I have the hope of glory. And like Pastor Joe so beautifully said it, once that hope of glory comes, that delay of the first hope will be restored. It will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten. And then, I have the hope of the resurrection. And that's why when every other thing in this life doesn't seem to work, even the perfection, I've not seen it yet, and the devil comes and he tries to discourage you, you say, I have another hope. The hope of the resurrection. And it is those hope, the hope of glory and the hope of the resurrection, those two hopes that nothing in this life can touch. So, my heart will never become sickened because the hope has been deferred. Because I have a hope that is within the veil that nothing else can touch. It's very important. Very, very important. Don't allow your heart to get sick because of the a deference. You see, when something is deferred, it doesn't mean you're not going to get it. It just means you not get it when you think. You're still going to get it. So don't let your heart become sick. Switch your hope to the glory. And keep working to the glory. When the glory comes, that hope that was deferred will be restored. Very important. Then lastly, the last thing he said, you know, which I want to emphasize and clarify, is, you know, the cry at midnight. And the virgins, he said, go ye out to meet him. And then he used, as a type, he used the virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins. And I shared about this recently. You know, you got the 5 wise virgins, you got the 5 foolish virgins, and then you have the watchman. He doesn't call him watchman, he just says, and at midnight there was a cry. Who made the cry? Certainly it was not the virgins who were sleeping, because they were sleeping. So the person that made the cry was not one of the virgins that were sleeping, it was a watchman. Hallelujah. So there is a watchman company in the church. Are you listening to me? And then he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That's old English. Let us say it in modern English. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. He's already near here. So he said, go ye out. I like that. To meet him. Go ye out to meet him. And using the type of Mary and Martha. Martha
went, you know, and don't let me get into it, but let me just stay with Mary. Praise the Lord. You know, and this is when Mary heard, he said she went to meet him. Yeah, he wasn't in town yet. When she heard, then she went to meet him, and then he and Jesus came back together. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. As this time, we're living in the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this time of the glory, you know, and there is a cry. Midnight is a symbolic expression. It is the transition between 2 days. It, you know, at midnight, once you pass midnight, you've entered a new day. Before midnight, you're in the old day. So the cry comes at midnight. It's symbolic of the transition between the time of the Feast of Pentecost, which we're in now, and the Feast of Tabernacles, in which we're going to now experience and see the glory of God. That's the transition, it's a transition between them. So at this particular point in time now, you want to wake up. This midnight hour, so to speak. You want to wake up. You don't want to be sleeping. Because it is the gold people who go out to meet him that come back with him. With the glory. You know, if you look at that parable, it's such a great parable. There's so many things inside, and I don't want to take the time to some other time I will, you know, and I've preached over it over the years. But it is this. He said that the wise virgins had oil both in their lamp and in their vessel. The foolish virgins had oil, but they don't have it in the vessel. He said, when the bridegroom delayed and tarried, and that's exactly what has happened. There are some of us, we thought maybe the glory was going to come. Let me tell you, I want to be very honest with you. You know, I thought the glory was going to come in the late 90s and early 2000s. Because I saw and I understood from the books, and I was what I thought was not wrong. It's just a question of, you know, God working out his purposes. You know, 1997, 98, 99. Nothing has happened yet. 2000. I remember Y2K. Everybody was thinking, you know, okay, it's not that. Maybe it'll be 2001, 2002, 2003. 2004, the Bible says, and while the bridegroom tarried, said, the tendency is to fall asleep. You know why? You say, well, you know, I know it's all true, but when God will come, he will come. Let me now face other things. Then you take perfection off your timetable. Because the people who are sleeping are people who no longer believe. Don't let me use the word believe. You know, they are no longer conscious of this truth about the glory of God and perfection. That's what you find in the church. You've got a lot of wise virgins in the church. People who have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. They pray in the spirit. They have the life of God to some degree in their bodies and all of that. But this perfection, they don't emphasize it anymore. You know why? They've said it and said it and said it, and it hasn't happened. So they slept. But some of us, to the glory of God, we refuse to sleep. That's the watchman. So we're still looking. We're still looking. We're still looking. We're still looking. And as we look, we begin to see more and more signs of his coming. And that keeps us awake and alert. And that keeps us awake and alert. We're now screaming. We're now crying to those who are sleeping. Wake up! Wake up! The breakthrough is coming! He's coming! He's coming! And those who hear and wake up and go out to meet him will be ready. Those who stay where they are will not be ready. And that's very, very important. So make sure that you wake up if you're sleeping in that area. If you believe, I know people who believe all this stuff. I remember many of our brethren, you know, prophetic, you know, guys, we all, you know, in the early night, in the 80s and in the early 90s, you know, while preaching this manifestation of the sons of God, I can never forget it. You know, people will say, "Oh, the glory of God! As I live, all the earth will be filled with glory." But many of them are sleeping now; they don't say those things anymore.
the bridegroom is coming. Maybe he's not even going to come in our lifetime.
But it's not true. He's coming. And you want to thank God he didn't come in 1999. And he didn't come in 2001. We would not have been ready. The reason, he's not the one who is tarrying, it's us who is tarrying. And he's getting us ready. So that when he does come, we can carry that weight of glory. Hallelujah. Lastly, you know, he said God also will do it. As Pastor Ray just said, that also just jumped out at me. I'll say God also, not alone. I'll say it again. He said, faithful is he who also will do it. In other words, you play a part, God plays his part. That's the meaning of the word also. There's a part you are playing with the mercy and the grace of God, of course, you know, and there's a part God is playing. He said, faithful is he who also will do it. So you're, God is helping you as you pray and groan and all of those things to sanctify your spirit, soul, and body. And through your prayers and intercession, God's mercy and grace in his faithfulness will also do it. So you're not working alone. Because it is you and God, it is certain it's going to work. Like I said the other day when I was preaching about all of this, you know, don't give up. See, the only thing that can make you fail is yourself. Nothing can separate you from the love of God except yourself. Nothing can keep you from this thing except yourself. So if you keep yourself, like it says in the book of Jude, keep yourself in the love of God, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you stay with it, God also will do it. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. God also will do it. God also will do it. You have a part to play. So long as you don't give up, so long as you keep letting God work in you through the blood, the word, and the spirit, God also will do it. Hallelujah. Let's just talk to God because of time. Let's just talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. See, when we hear these things, the purpose of God is to quicken us. The word quicken just means to give life, you know, to make us, activate us, if you can use that expression, so that, you know, we are alert. It's so easy to fall asleep. It's so easy to fall asleep. I've been hearing, they've been saying it, all since I've. Kenneth Hagin prophesied it. Brian Elton talked about it. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, all those people. But we haven't seen anything yet. You don't fall asleep. Raise the other hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has come this morning, Lord, reminding me that you've given me a charge to keep the commandment of life and love without spot by the blood of Jesus. I recognize that you are at work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure concerning this, to help me to fulfill my purpose, to be conformed to the image of Jesus in this lifetime, to manifest your glory in this midnight hour. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord, not to sleep. Lord, help me not to sleep. Help me to go out and meet the bridegroom as he comes into his church in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Mercy, O Lord. Mercy, Lord. Tolomon, 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 Tolomon,
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. You may be seated.